Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the world of innovation, business, tech, design, and culture. I'm Fazlan Iso. Today we're joined by two brand new label mates who've just joined the expert roster, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Hello and welcome to Tina Saul, a strategist who is making AI work for most creative people. Tina helps teams make sense of AI without losing their soul in the process. She's the go-to for turning automation into something that actually works for people, not just processes. Also, a big welcome to Andy Coglin. Andy cuts through chaos to help you unlock true customer experience value before most teams even know what they are solving. From legacy giants to creative disruptors, he builds strategies that actually get delivered and get results. So we'll jump straight in. And then it's a very AI-focused week this week. And one of the things that has come up is, do you feel safer using AI products from Meta or ByteDance? So the TikTok owner has been launching AI apps in the US and elsewhere throughout, and some media commentators aren't really trusting its services too much. Others are saying they're not happy with the alternative with the US tech firms. So how do we as consumers choose who to trust with our data? And how should we think about this ourselves? What if you are a leader in tech firm today, how can you become a brand that consumers trust while you're dealing with all of this mistrust that's going around generally?
Sure. I think the important thing to note here is neither Meta nor ByteDance has a clean trust slate.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you look at Meta's Scale AI partnership, it's already under pressure, mm-hmm. not even weeks in. And I think it's also being criticized for, again, how it's failing to protect teenagers. So I think, you know, the chatbots giving unsafe advice to Instagram, you know, especially in the teenager framing of the app. So, you know, for me, it's failed to filter violent content. You know, there's too much trust that's been lost. And I think ByteDance is, you know, quietly launching, well, not so much quietly, but they're doing this quiet launch of their AI apps, even as TikTok remains under scrutiny all around the world. So, you know, I think the danger is that both companies think they can rebuild trust through features and new tech and, you know, shiny stuff. And I think history teaches us shiny stuff doesn't help do that. It's authenticity, it's transparency, and it's audits. It's about, you know, accountability. And for me, you know, trust doesn't come from these press releases. It really comes from evidence. And I failed to see the evidence there yet where people are going to, you know, lean into those elements. Although ask me next week and I'm sure my answer would have changed. But for me, it's around that rebuilding trust. I'm not too sure if they've gone a bit too far.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually also a board trustee of a charity that is really heavy on online safety and education and stop NCII and things like that. So quite a lot of insight into these companies. And as Tina says, you know, they're doing very little to onboard trust. I think the concerning thing from my point of view is I think that you have a kind of a generation that's consuming these media and they overlook privacy worries in return for what the product delivers in terms of the value. So I think that people are very much aware of those kind of trust and data issues, but actually it's part of their lifestyle. So they will go ahead anyway, and they see that there's that trade-off. I guess it's the same trade-off we've always had in kind of business and marketing, is that value exchange. If you deliver value, then people will buy the product. And at the moment, that value in terms of the engagement and the belonging for that younger audience is overcoming those trust issues. You know, I'm hoping that something doesn't happen to change that, but there are a lot of examples where it is. So I think that, you know, it's something we have to keep a really, really close eye on.
I think one of the things we're also seeing is this, the idea that sort of trust as being the new currency is also quite prevalent. We've seen a couple of articles now about sort of the trust economy, as opposed to sort of where we have been, which is just the experience economy. Do you think that companies like Meta or ByteDance can recover trust in the models that they have currently?
I think to Andy's point, I'm not sure. I think some people will, some people won't. And I think it's, again, going back to the value exchange, what's in it for them? We are very much it's something that's useful. I'll find ways around. So I'm not using my main email address, maybe, you know, there's stuff people do right now to scan. And I think people play around, don't they? And I think time will tell as to what, you know, I think probably adults and those of us who've seen sort of like the data issues of the past and the challenges that raised have got probably more further to go to build the trust. But, you know, to Andy's point, you know, the teenagers just want it. So if their friends are using it, they'll be using it too. So I think there's that peer pressure element as well. So it's going to be an interesting few years for sure.
Like Tina said, you know, it has to be far much more evidence by action rather than just statements and promises from a lot of these companies. I think there's another bit at the moment. I mean, I think there's a lot of the kind of, some of the mistrust with ByteDance, for example, is that, you know, it's part of China, there's government influences, but I think in the States you're getting a lot of that worry now as well. You know, can the government actually get their hands on a lot of this data and use it? And I do think there's something that I have a colleague of mine working on and I've been looking into a bit, is there a future where individuals own their data more and actually they become the guardians of the data and they own the value exchange? And possibly even for payment, you know, yes, I'll subscribe to your app, but I want it free in return for you having access to various elements of my data. I know there's a lot of people think that that's the way things are moving. But again, as we've said, while people are getting value out of these applications, that's, I think, still a little way off. But I think it could be in the future.